Today we have the most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. You could summarize the entire Bible, the entire New Testament, in that one verse. Even though mankind was in sinfulness, God sent His Son into the world to save the world. That is the essence of our faith. That is the essence of Christianity, John 3:16. That's why you'll see it on bumper stickers, on license plates. Growing up as a kid, watching the World Series, there was always somebody behind home plate in the seventh game of the World Series, and he had bright rainbow-colored hair holding up a sign, John 3:16. I couldn't believe he could get such good tickets for every World Series game. He also was at the Super Bowl as well. He always had great tickets for the Super Bowl, any sporting events. This guy, John 3:16. It's really the essence of Christianity. Let's pull that apart and look at that for a moment. So again, it's not what we do, it's what God has done for us. For God so loved the world. The word love here is agape. It's not eros or philios or storge, it is agape. God loved the world totally, sacrificially, unconditionally. That is what agape love is. It's total self-donating, sacrificial, self-giving love. That's the kind of love God has for us. He so loved the world. Did He have to love the world? No, but God is pure love. He cannot stop loving us. He cannot stop loving the world that He created. Even though Adam and Eve turned against God and sinned and disobeyed, He continued to love the world, to love the human race. That's why He gave His only begotten Son. See, Adam and Eve wanted something from God, wanted to become like God. God gives. Selfishness wants, but true love gives. So He gave His only begotten Son. He did something greater than Abraham, who was willing to give his only begotten son, Isaac, back to God. God stopped him before he did it, but He wanted to see if Abraham was willing to give his only beloved son. Abraham was willing to do it, but God, of course, stopped him. But what God did towards Abraham, He did not do for Himself. He allowed His only begotten son to die on the cross. When you look up at that crucifix, you see, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten son, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. And it says, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So belief is faith in God. That's the beginning of our salvation. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God, to be pleasing to God. So we have to have faith to be pleasing to God. But notice it doesn't say we need faith alone. That was a misunderstanding of Martin Luther and others, that all you need is faith alone, just to say, Jesus, I accept You. We need to do that, but it doesn't end there. Like St. Paul says, you could have faith to move mountains, but if you have not love, we are nothing. So faith alone will not save us. We need faith, but not just faith. We're saved by God's grace that operates in our life through faith, hope, and charity. We need faith, of course. We also need hope. Otherwise, we'll fall into despair or discouragement. And we need love, the greatest of the virtues. Because Paul even says the greatest of these is love. So yes, we have to believe in Him to have eternal life. But it's not only an act of the mind to believe in God. Because as you know, even the devil, as St. Paul says, believes in God. But he, of course, is not saved because he has no charity. Again, St. Paul tells us that in Scripture. Even the demons have faith, but they're not saved because they have no charity. And We, of course, know from other things the Lord says that we need more than just faith alone. Jesus says, he who perseveres till the end will be saved. So we need perseverance. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. So we need to live out our faith in love. So yes, we believe that we might have eternal life. But it's not just faith alone. This idea of belief incorporates much more than just the assent of the mind or the will to God. It means much more than that. It means following Christ, being a disciple of him. So we must believe so we don't perish. It's not referring to physical death, it's referring to eternal death. So God wants us to have eternal life. Everybody will die. Everybody in this church will die. We will have a physical death. It doesn't mean we won't perish physically. It means he won't perish eternally. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus did not come for condemnation. He came for salvation, to save us. The very name Jesus, Yeshua in Aramaic, means Savior. God saves. The very name of Jesus tells us his mission, to save us. And then this passage concludes by a very interesting few sentences. He says, the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. So Jesus is the light of the world, but people, through their own free will, choose sin and choose to live in darkness. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. And if you read some of the fathers of the church and some of the saints, they say that when we die, we're either going to be drawn towards the light or away from the light. When we come to judgment day, when we come before God, if we die in the state of grace, we'll be drawn towards the light. If we die in a state of mortal sin, you'll want to go away from the light. So when we die, as Jesus, as Bishop Sheen put it very well, depending on the kind of person that we are, by our very nature, we'll either be drawn towards God or away from God. We're either saved or we're damned. Bishop Sheen says, if somebody is holding a bird in their hand very lightly, if they open up their hand, the bird will fly up to the heavens. If they're holding a rock in their hand, when it's open, it'll drop straight down because of gravity. So when we come before God, when our life is revealed by God to us, we're either going to be that bird that flies up to heaven or that rock that goes down towards hell, depending upon the kind of person that we are. That's why we, as Mother Angelica says, God doesn't just throw people into hell. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there by the life they've led during their life. When they come before God, they're either going to be drawn to the light, drawn towards God because of the life that they're living and that the holiness in their soul at the moment of their death, they're going to be drawn to the light, or they don't want to have their sins exposed because they die in mortal sin, and it says they will turn away from the light so that their works might not be exposed. So that's what will happen to us at Judgment Day. One of the best summaries of John 3:16, I'll just end with this. A Christian author put a description next to each of the words in John 3:16. And it has to do with the greatest. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So God is the greatest lover. So loved is the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes the greatest simplicity, in him the greatest person, shall not perish the greatest escape, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest destiny.